So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for Will. Thank you for the word that you have raised in him. We praise your name, and may this bring glory to you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Well, it's so exciting. Here we are, Advent. We are getting close to Christmas. I really want to encourage you this evening. My talk... Sometimes when I preach, I feel so convicted in what I'm saying. And I think this is a particularly challenging message. So I would love it. I can see your comments. I've got a little fallback screen just down here. I can see your comments. And I'd love to, if you want to just say what you think, I promise you I won't be hurt as I go through this talk. Whether it gives you any ideas, do share them on the comments, the live chat on the YouTube. I'd love to see them as we go through. But I'm wondering how Black Friday went for you. I don't know. For me, I just was overwhelmed with emails. There's one company called Quadlock, and it's probably sent me 5 emails a day trying to persuade me to buy something that I'm sure, despite a sort of 50% discount, is exactly the same price as what it was when I last bought it a year ago. So I don't quite know how it works, but I'm feeling quite sort of inundated with Black Friday deals. I'm wondering, perhaps some of you have done really well and have got ahead of the game and done some Christmas shopping. Well, that's great. But it's just like there's things, and more things. And I want to start by asking a question. If you consider yourself to be someone who follows Jesus Christ, and I'm hoping that watching there will be some who perhaps do not yet think that of themselves. Does the way you spend your time, your money, your energy during Christmas, do you think that it honors Jesus? Or put it another way, does it place Jesus at the center stage? I hope that is a challenging question to ask yourself. And today, this evening, we're starting a short little mini-series which we're calling the Advent Conspiracy, because it's going to be about conspiring against the way our culture has overwhelmed Christmas, has taken over Christmas, and about how we can and need to reclaim it, to take it back. I'm sure you know, but we as a church, we go the extra mile at Christmas. We give extra money through the Mission Outreach Group to our overseas charities. We've also been working flat out in supporting those in need in our community. And it's your generosity that's enabled us to do this. And when we help and when we give, we always do it in the name of Jesus, as we try and reach out to those who are spiritually far from God, with the one message that can alter the entire trajectory of people's eternity. All of this making sure to keep Jesus front and center at Christmas. But however it needs to be done, the goal is the same: to make Christmas meaningful again. And isn't that what we all want? And what we all really need. Isn't it about keeping the Christ in Christmas? How many years have we missed the wonder of God's miraculous birth with overstuffed Decembers, leaving us wanting more? Has hyper-consumption been leaving you empty, perhaps? I mean, in one sense, I've definitely not been left empty. But we seem to be worshipping less, we spend more, we give less, we struggle more, and that cannot be right. So what if we did Christmas differently for once? Because it's not just about saying no to the way Christmas is being celebrated culturally, it's about saying yes to an entirely different way of celebrating. So what would it look like if we took this Christmas and worshipped more fully, spent less, gave more, and loved all? And we all did it in the name of Jesus, for Jesus, to Jesus, in honor and in celebration of the birthday of Jesus. So that is the Advent conspiracy. Now, the word Advent comes from the Latin word adventus, means coming, and it's become a blanket term for the weeks leading up to Christmas, looking forward to the celebration of when Christmas, when Jesus came, and getting ready for when he returns. Which is why those of us who are Christians, we have things like Advent wreaths, Advent carols, Advent candles, which was lit earlier, and you know, all of this is about celebrating this season of Advent. So the Advent conspiracy is to take the weeks leading up to Christmas to conspire to do it differently, to challenge ourselves collectively to do it differently, to be cultural subversives and revolutionaries. Doesn't that sound really exciting? I mean, after all, Jesus was utterly subversive. The gospel message is utterly subversive. So we should seek to be subversive as well. To do better than just Black Fridays and Cyber Mondays, if that's all that Christmas is. We can get a real Christmas back. I mean, even if it's just doing something about the consumerism of it all. Taking on the idea that spending money on gifts is the best way we express love. So here's the exam question. What if we spent less so that we could give more in ways that are truly loving? For example, I was staggered to find this out, but apparently the amount of money people spend in the US on Christmas is close to 45 times the amount of money it would take to supply all those parts of the world that don't have clean water with clean water. That's quite a shocking statistic, isn't it? So let's use this Advent, this season, to explore this conspiracy, beginning with the first big idea. What if we worshipped Jesus more fully this Christmas? Now, worship has always been a strange word. You say worship to somebody and they immediately assume it's something to do with music and in church singing. And I hope you know that when we've been preaching about this and teaching about this in church, we have definitely said that isn't what worship is all about. It's an important part of worship, but it's certainly not all of worship. So perhaps there's some people are not quite sure what it is, what it means, what it entails. And you could do this in a lot of different ways, but the heart of it is simple. And to reclaim a phrase that has been used a lot recently, what it really means is bending the heart, bending the knee of your heart, bending the knee of your heart. And it's interestingly how nearly every person who encountered the infant Jesus in the Christmas story in the Bible intuitively had that response. They bent their knee. When Mary found out that as a virgin she would miraculously give birth to the Savior of the world, she immediately broke out in singing, worshiping to God. We don't know the tune, but we have the lyrics. And here's a taste of what she sang. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. It's a very famous Christian worship song. We call it the Magnificat. And here's two more outbreaks of worship. First from the angels who announced the birth of Jesus, and then from a group of shepherds who then went to see the baby for themselves. Let me read it to you. We're used to having this read very much at Christmas time, but let me read it to you now. But the angels said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Wow. Let me give you one more example of a spontaneous outbreak of worship in the Christmas story. And it's about the Magi. And here's some background to them. We always ask this question for the Christmas quiz. We're probably not going to have one this Christmas. I can tell you the answer now. But there weren't just necessarily three of them. These were men who, as part of their intellectual pursuits, had studied the ancient scriptures. Through them, they knew that a Messiah, a Savior, a King was to come who would change all of human history. They also studied the heavens, because the scriptures said his coming would be marked by a tremendous event in the heavens or sky, specifically the coming of a star that would mark the time and place of his birth. And then to their amazement, it all began to kick off in their lifetime. So they left their homeland in search of this wonder and the answers they hoped it would hold for life. And the star led them to the child from a poor family in a manger. But going to that child, though, much less bringing gifts and offering their worship, nearly cost them their lives. Most people don't know or stop to think about the risk they were taking just to worship. They had to deal with Herod. Now, I could talk for the next half an hour about all the dreadful, unbelievably nasty, sadistic, and evil things Herod got up to. But the one standout story is, of course, he is the king who had all the baby boys murdered, slaughtered. This from Matthew chapter 2, verses 4 to 9 and 12 to 13. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. I mean, that's a stunningly evil thing to do. So that just shows you how high the stakes were behind the story of the Magi. Now, here's, of course, the part you're more familiar with. The star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with their gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And from this time forward, Christmas has been marked by a time of giving of gifts. And it all goes way back to that first Christmas. But make sure you dig a little deeper than that. Did you notice who they gave the gifts to? Now, obviously, they didn't give gifts to each other like we do on Christmas Day. They gave their gifts to the infant Christ. That's at the heart of Christmas giving, surely. Not gifts for ourselves or for others, but to Jesus. And two gifts in particular. First, they gave the gifts of worship, just like everyone else who encountered the baby Jesus. And for the Magi, it was the most natural thing in the world to do when they come face to face with Jesus. Just like it was the most natural thing in the world for Mary to do, for the shepherds to do, for the angels to do. And just like I think it would be for us too, if we could peel back the layers of Christmas to see the Christ child. There are a lot of people who could walk into this church and cause us instinctively to stand up. Imagine if the Queen walked in, for example. But there's only one person who could walk into this church, that would cause us to bend the knee, at least if we realized who it was. And the Magi did. But second, the Bible says that they gave tangible gifts of great, even sacrificial cost to him, specifically gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It's easy to let that pass us by and not really register, because we don't really talk about frankincense these days. But going back in time, okay, frankincense along with myrrh was used for making incense and perfume, and they were some of the costliest spices around. Myrrh was also used to embalm dead bodies. And of course, gold is still one of the most precious and prized commodities of our day, and indeed is the foundation of our entire monetary system. So these were not small gifts, nor should they have been small. It would have been unthinkable to acknowledge the child as a king, to acknowledge the babe in a manger as the savior of the world, as God himself come to earth, and not to react in a tangible and worthy manner. So the heart of Christmas giving is the giving of honor to Jesus and the giving of gifts to Christ. And that's exactly what has got out of kilter in so many of our lives. I know my own life. We don't honor Jesus at Christmas, and hardly anybody thinks of starting off their gift giving with him. We've made it all about giving gifts to each other, or even to ourselves. We're nowhere close to the Magi, who not only gave gifts to Jesus, but at the risk of their very lives. In other words, their worship and their giving was sacrificial. It came at great cost, and they were glad to do it. They were honored to be able to do it. So what if this Christmas we tried to worship like the Magi? What if this Christmas we intentionally sought Jesus out to bend our knee to him? In fact, what if we made the bending of our knee to Jesus the heart of it all, the center of Christmas? What if we coupled that with starting our gift giving with him, giving our first and our best gift to Jesus? What would that do to recapturing the real meaning of Christmas? And what would it do for us? What kind of miracle might take place? I'm reminded of a very old story, a legend, call it what you will, called Amal and the Night Visitors. This legend was surrounding the three wise men as they make their way to Bethlehem. They come to the home of a poor woman who has a little boy named Amal. Amal is crippled. He cannot walk without the aid of his crutch. The Magi ask for shelter for the night. As they do, they tell the woman and her son of their quest and of the gifts they are bringing the Christ child. Gifts of gold, frankincense, and valuable spices. The little boy has nothing to give, but was captivated by the coming of the child king. So he asked the wise men to do something for them. As they got up to leave, he asks them to take his crutch, his only possession, and his most valuable possession, to lay at the baby's feet. And they were so moved by his sincerity that they couldn't say no. They couldn't turn him down. They knew the best way to honor him was to take the crutch. And then the story goes, a miracle happened. As the wise men left with the crutch, Amal found he could stand and walk. He had been healed, all by joining in on the gift of the Magi, all by joining in the Advent conspiracy. I don't know what miracle God might have for you if you pull back the layers and make Jesus the center, the heart of Christmas again. I just know that there will be one, because you cannot outgive God. I'm going to close in prayer. One of the earliest Christian prayers is based on an Aramaic word, Maranatha, which means come, Lord Jesus. And I'm going to be using that word during this prayer. In the 12th century, Bernard of Clairvaux, who was the founder of the Cistercian order of monks, said that Christ comes to us in three different ways. Firstly, at Bethlehem at Christmas. Secondly, at the end of the age. And thirdly, in the lives of believers every single day. So let us pray of all three of Christ's comings this Advent. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much that you sent your Son to save us. Maranatha. May Jesus be born again amongst us again this Advent. Maranatha. Thank you, Jesus, that you came before and you are coming again in glory. Maranatha. We long for you to return to make all things new. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for filling our lives. Maranatha. May the Lord Jesus Christ be born again in me today. Maranatha. May this day bring new hope to my heart and my home. Maranatha. May my peace and perspective be renewed in the busyness of this season. May my hand be free enough from spending and acquiring to receive your gift. Maranatha. May a little of the wonder of the real gift of Christmas awaken the child within me and make God's word feed me and his Spirit lead me into the week and into the life to come. Maranatha.